Live event coverage recorded last Friday, April 15th, Jackie Robinson Day, a very special morning at the St. Petersburg Museum of History. It was Schrader's Little Cooperstown on display and the official signing of the 5,000th autographed baseball.
Good morning. Welcome to St. Petersburg Museum of History. My name is Rui Frias. I'm the executive director. Thank you so much for being a part of this very historic day here in our museum. For a couple years now, this exhibit, the largest of its kind in the world, has showcased 4,999 baseballs. We looked at several athletes and celebrities to sign this iconic 5,000th ball. We were even close to bringing Tom Hanks to town a couple years ago, and the whole world came to a halt. And that pretty much ended that. But shortly after our city's historic election in November, Dennis and I discussed how this could truly be an historic event, and the choice was pretty simple. Little Cooperstown is more than just baseball. The exhibit shares the joys and hardships of American history using America's favorite pastime. Think about it. When Dennis started this collection, Jackie Robinson was playing spring training games right down the street in Allen Stadium. Ladies and gentlemen, the man whose dream it was to create this collection and exhibit, Dennis Schrader.
The last time I got an appointment, can you hear me? Because I'm suffering, I didn't have it recently, the COVID virus left me the ghost of voice gone. I got these notes because, wait a minute, I take Prevagen because my memory's kind of, I'm old, and I didn't take one this morning, so they gave me these notes, and I'm not going to read them, I'm just going to ad lib.
Shocker.
Yeah. They want me to tell the story of how this all started, and I won't go through that. It'll take a... Wait a minute. They have a schedule here? And Dennis at 11:15, get ready for this. 11:28, 13 minutes, I get to talk. Mayor, take a nap. Anyway, it started right here in St. Petersburg, Alang Theum. 1956, I was 10 years old. I know I look a lot younger. I'm sitting in a dugout. I'm helping the Yankees bat boy, and I hitchhike down here every day from Largo. Being from Largo is not impressive on your resume, but it's the best we could do at the time. So anyway, they were doing pepper, and you baseball players know what pepper is. Hitting the ball like crazy, and one flew in the dugout, and I caught it like this. And this fella, Yankee uniform, saw me, and he came in the dugout, and he was going to the restroom. He came back out, and he said, "Nice catch, kid." I went, "Thanks." This guy had forearms like this. And he says, "You want me to sign that ball?" And I went, "Sure." And he took the pen off the lineup card. It was on a string, and he handed it to me and patted me on my head. I had hair back then. holy crap. ABC.
ABC one. Person.
Where's Fox when he needs it? Sorry. You can edit that. So, see why it's going to take more than 13 minutes? So anyway, I look at the ball and it's Mickey Mantle. Oh my God, my first ball. So being over there every day and all these baseballs, one player after another, it grew. I never realized it would grow to the Guinness Book of Records. Trust me on that. Thank you. Now, how did all of those baseball arrive here? My sister worked for a pulmonary specialist. She's a nurse. And a guy by the name of Gustavos, a lot of you know who he is, daughter goes there for her CPAC and the doctor, and she saw this picture of me on the wall with all these baseballs behind me and went, "Who's that?" And my sister said, "Oh, that's my brother. He's got the Guinness Book of Records. He's a baseball nut." She said, "My dad, Gustavus, he's a baseball nut." So next thing I know, they came to the house. And Gus just went crazy, him and his son Paul, and said, "Oh, everybody needs to see this." Next thing I know, he gets a hold of Bill Foster, former mayor, and Bill Foster gets all these guys from these museums and in a van, and they come to my house. There's like 20 of them come walking through there. Finally, after a couple of hours of they're going nuts, Mr. Foster says, "We got a museum that can hardly pay their rent. We have spring training in St. Petersburg, and this will put them on the map. Would you consider loaning this to them?" I said, "You know, yeah, because you know why? My wife and I were doing 2 to 3 tours a day at our house because this went nationwide. It went worldwide. Give you an example. They would email me. I'd say, scan your driver's license and let me do a background check. Two guys showed up at my house. They said they were Toronto fans. And they showed up at my house 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning in a cab. And they came in and they were going nuts. And they went, "We got to go." I said, "Where are you going? Want some coffee or something?" "No, I've got to catch a plane." I said, "Where are you going?" "Back to Toronto." They flew in from Toronto to look at my collection. I almost cried. I mean, that's unbelievable. And our house was like every day somebody's coming. I mean, little ones, old, didn't matter. A couple of the guys from the Negro League that had played in the Negro League came to the house. But anyway, so we built what you see in that room in Largo, Creative Arts Building. We built it in Largo because we couldn't tie up the museum, those two big rooms, for weeks at a time. However, we didn't have the money to do it all. That whole thing in there is neighborhood of $225,000 to $250,000 to build everything in there and to redo the museum and everything. So guess who did it? I went on canvas all over Florida, the villages. I've spoken up there. There's 30 clubhouses. Everyone's named after a team for their golf. And I did lectures, and I put out a Babe Ruth cookie jar and say, "If you like what you hear and you learn something you never heard in baseball, and I can tell you some stories, put something in that cookie jar for the museum." It's a nonprofit organization. So $200,000 later, and those boys in Largo working months on building what you saw on there, and 400 emails to me, back and forth, to lay it all out. We got it here. In about 4 days, we did it all. And how do we get all the balls where they go? Bill Heller, he was on the board here, I believe. He was ex-ethics at Florida. You're in South Florida, ethics professor. Now, someone working with me that ethics? So, but we got along. But anyway, he had college students come in and they did all of this work, labeling everything, and they got credit for working in a museum. So it worked out pretty good. Now, and I want to thank this gentleman in the front row, because if it wasn't for Bill Foster, the mayor of Houston, Bill, I accept bitcoins. Well, you know about Gus Stavros, and I said a lot of people came to my house. George Steinbrenner and his son Hank came to my house. He offered to buy the collection. No. And he said, I'll never forget him, rest his soul, "Are you telling the boss no?" He shook my hand and left, but he stayed there quite a while. Lou Pinnell has been to my house. Phil Alessi, Alessi's Bakery, he's now since passed. You've heard of Alessi's Bakery in Tampa. He brought a lot of people. He brought Angelo Dundee to my house. because I have balls signed by Sugar Ray Leonard and Muhammad Ali and Lana Ali. I have a lot of boxers that you can see in there. And Kevin Cash, who married a good friend of mine's daughter, was at the house when he was playing for the Rays. I'll never forget this. He handed me, I said, Kevin, sign this ball for me. He'd just gotten to the Rays. Well, years passed and he became manager. Well, hell, I was there right down by the dugout, first game that he managed against Baltimore. And when he handed me the ball in my house, he says, here, it's worth a buck, okay? And so when they lost their first two games. The third game, they beat Baltimore. She's going in the dugout. I said, hey, Kevin, shook his hand. I said, you know that ball you signed? It's worth $2.25. and I think the biggest compliment I've ever gotten, excuse me, while it was at my house, when George Steinbrenner was buried in Trinity Memorial Gardens, which is 10 miles from my house, it was a private ceremony, only family members. And I got a call that afternoon after the funeral, and it was a secretary, and she says, my boss would love to come see your collection. And I went, okay, who's your boss? He says, Bill Rasmussen, and a lot of people don't know who that is. He's the founder of ESPN. And he came to my house within an hour in a limo with his secretary. He was there 3 hours looking at it. And he told me stories about each guy that, you know, I had. He was fantastic. He gave me a book. It was his book, The Story of ESPN. And on the cover is a TV set with the rabbit ears on it and a bottle of Budweiser. I went, why is there a bottle of Budweiser? He said, because I went dead broke. I was in Bristol, Connecticut. I was in an old wooden garage that was falling over. We started ESPN. I went broke. I borrowed $8,000 on my MasterCard, and I was going broke again, and Augie Bush heard about it, and he flew in, and he backed me, and that's why ESPN's book has a Budweiser bottle on it. Augie Bush, by the way, is, you know, Budweiser. So anyway, let me get going. I've been 13 minutes yet. Jackie Robinson Day, as you all know, and that's why we're here. Right, Mayor? Let me tell you a quick story about Jackie Robinson. True story. An elderly fella came to my house. He was like 91 or 92 years old. And he goes, I want to see a Jackie Robinson ball. Well, here it is right here. He says, I used to own a deli in New York. And Jackie Robinson would come in every day in the morning when he was in town and wasn't playing, you know, out of town. And he'd have a bagel and coffee. And he'd sit way back in the corner because you know why. So he was back in the corner every day. And he tipped the girls well and he left and usually went out the back door. So, you know, segregation was the thing. And that's why him breaking the barrier is so damn important. So he said, I want to tell you this story, though. One day he was back there and he was crying. So what? He said he had tears running down his face because he played his whole life for the Dodgers, and he loved the Dodgers more than anything in the world, and they traded him to the New York Giants. A lot of people don't know this. And he had the letter from the New York Giants welcoming him aboard, and he was writing a letter to the Dodgers, thanking them for what they had done for him over the years and blah, 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 blah. And he says, I'll never forget it. I says, why not? Because at the top of the letterhead, it said, chock full of nuts. Anybody know what that was? It was coffee. He wasn't going to play baseball anymore, and chock full of nuts hired him as their PR guy and a vice president so he could promote their coffee. And that's why it was on that letterhead. Lo and behold, about 2 months later, this guy left. I opened up one of my books from the Heritage Auction in Dallas. Right in the middle of the book was that letter. Somebody had gotten that letter, gave it to Heritage, and they were auctioning it off. And it was going for thousands of dollars. So I got a hold of that old guy, and I cut the thing out of the book and sent it to him. He couldn't be happier. I mean, that's amazing. The crossing of the paths of the people that have been into that collection and email me is unsurmountable. But where we are today, I am so happy all of you showed up. And Rui and I, like he said, we discussed it. Tom Hanks, there's no crying in baseball. We thought we had him. Him and his wife got COVID. Okay. So we're sitting around. You know, we got to get this ball signed by somebody because people email me. Who's going to sign the $5 ball? Why don't you get so? I already got it. Why don't you get so? I already got it. So someone said, have your wife sign it. There isn't one in there signed by her. And there's not. There's one signed by me. So anyway, we got to put our heads together and went, you know what? We got a Jackie Robinson right here in St. Petersburg. So, I mean, how atrocious is this? I mean, he broke the color barrier for baseball. That gentleman broke the barrier for being the first black mayor in St. Petersburg. So, Ken Welch is our Jackie Robinson. At this time, ladies and gentlemen, I'll shut up and, hey.
Is that your wife?
No. Okay, hold on a minute. Wait a minute before we do this. I gotta do this because I'm losing it. Mayor Ken Welch, will you please come forward, sir?
You want me to sign first?
Yes, sir.
No. We have a plan.
Yeah.
Come on.
I'm doing what I'm told.
What was the name of that pill I was
on? I think it's Prevagen. Good morning, everyone. And Dennis and Rui, thank you so much. This is such a convergence of history and education and equity and progress and how we move forward. I'm just so full. We started the day with the raise, supporting a community gardens project at the location of my father's former office on 16th Street. I want to thank the raise for always giving back to the community, and this opportunity today is just something. So Dennis, I did have a chance to chat with some of the students from PAL. And the young lady from Melrose was saying what they were going to do after my buddy. And I said, well, I'm going to speak. Are you going to listen? And she said, well, how long are you going to talk for? So I'll be reasonably short. But this is such a great day, and we've got such incredible partners in the city. So I do want to recognize Rui and Dennis for being here today. Council member Copley Gertis, who's a baseball guy himself, is here. Copley, raise your hand. And Ed Montaneri, council member, also a baseball guy, with us today. My good friend, although he's a Northeast Viking and he's wearing Gator gear today, Mayor Bill Foster, Brian All from the Rays, Chris Steinacher from the Chamber. Saw you, Chris. My friend and visionary, Terry Lipsy Scott from the Woodson Museum of Florida. And some other folks I'm going to mention in my speech, but also I see from the baseball community, Phil Haywood Sr. Sir, good to see you. Paul Haywood. Is Paul here? Okay, good to see you. Spartans in the house, right? Yes, Lakewood Spartans for life, okay. Bobby Thompson. Coach. Sorry, you're on the way. And of course, we have PAL Baseball and Berg Baseball as well. So today is a special time in our nation. On this day, April 15th, 1947, America's pastime and America itself was forever changed for the better when Jackie Robinson became the first African American to play in Major League Baseball. Jackie Robinson broke the baseball color line when he started at first base for the Brooklyn Dodgers that afternoon and shattered that historical model of racial segregation that had relegated black players to the Negro League since the 1880s. Today we celebrate the 75th anniversary of Jackie Robinson's Major League Baseball debut and the significant impact he made on the sport of baseball and in turn on our society. In his honor, MLB retired his uniform number 42 across all Major League teams in 1997. And every April 15th since 2004, the Tampa Bay Rays, along with every other team, commemorate Jackie Robinson's contributions to the Major League Baseball by wearing Robinson's number 42 on their jersey. So the Rays gave me this several years ago, and one of my staff asked me, are you going to wear it? And I said, can I wear it? Because I've gained a few pounds, but I still can wear it. Fasting does work, just in case you're wondering about that. Jackie Robinson Day is important for baseball, it's important for St. Pete, it's important for our nation. During his life, Jackie Robinson embodied the principles of equal opportunity, equity, and inclusion that are fundamental principles that will fuel our progress right here in St. Pete. During his 10-year MLB career, Robinson proved that equal opportunity pays. He won the inaugural Rookie of the Year Award in 1947. Was an all-star for six consecutive seasons from 1949 through 1954. I am the 54th mayor, by the way, that just popped in my head. And won the National League Most Valuable Player Award in 1949. Again, the first black player so honored. Robinson played in six World Series and contributed to the Dodgers' 1955 Series Championship. He was inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame in 1962. And in retirement, he became the first black television analyst for Major League Baseball. Now, here's some things I learned. His impact in St. Pete is also historic. No player, not even Babe Ruth, brought crowds to Al Lang Stadium like Jackie Robinson. In our city's long spring training history, just two games drew more than 8,000 fans, both featuring Robinson and the Brooklyn Dodgers. Robinson's final game at Al Lang Stadium was played on March 29, 1956, before 8,468 fans, the second largest crowd in St. Pete's spring training history. And St. Pete does have an amazing baseball history. Thanks to former Mayor Al Lang, St. Pete became a spring training hub and hosted Major League spring training from 1914 until 2008. Since 1914, more Major League spring training games have been played in St. Petersburg than any other city. I didn't know that. Did you know that, Mayor Foster?
I did.
Ed probably knew it. You probably knew that, Councilmember Montner. Hosting the New York Yankees, the St. Louis Cardinals, the New York Giants, the New York Mets, the Baltimore Orioles, and our own Rays until 2008. In 2006, the Rays decided to move their spring training operations to Port Charlotte, about 80 miles south of St. Pete. And they played the very last spring training game at Al Lang on March 28, 2008. But the rest of that story is still being written, and I believe it will have a great ending. The St. Petersburg Museum of History has been telling the story of baseball in St. Petersburg since its very beginning in 1920. Today, the museum is home to Little Cooperstown Dennis Schrader's astounding collections of 4,999 autographed baseballs, including one signed by Jackie Robinson. And I have the great fortune of signing ball number 5,000 today, and it truly is an honor. Joining me will be and I think we always say this, but it's always worth saying that none of us are here because of our own greatness. We're all standing on the shoulders of those who came before us. So joining me today will be two of St. Petersburg's very own baseball legends, Bubba Swinton. Mr. Swinton, raise your hand. Who coached the Wildwood Dodgers for 50 years. And as I was talking about my dad's tax service this morning, Mr. Swinton, Swinton's Market, was one of our clients. This is all coming around full circle. And also James Oliver Jr. James. played and coached baseball at Morehouse and played minor league ball for the Cincinnati Reds. Now, Mr. Oliver is from a baseball dynasty. His brother, Nate, played the same position as Jackie Robinson for the Dodgers 10 years after Jackie played. And this is what last night I'm just saying, you gotta be kidding me. James Oliver Sr., your father, is a true legend in St. Pete's baseball history. He was known as the King of Baseball in St. Petersburg. He played shortstop in the historic Negro National Baseball League, where he was considered one of the most gifted and esteemed professional baseball players of his time. He played with some of the greatest players in American history: Satchel Paige, Josh Gibson, Cool Papa Bell, and countless others on the legendary barnstorming Indianapolis Clowns, the Birmingham Black Barons, and the Cleveland Buckeyes. And he played with my dad in the Florida Baseball League. And I did not know that until last night. I knew Dad played baseball, but I didn't know he was in that league. James Oliver Sr. is recognized as the person who, from 1950 to 1970, brought baseball to St. Pete's black youth, something we need to get going again. He helped organize the first Negro Little League during the early 1950s. Mr. Oliver passed away in 1971, and in February 1975, the city's beautifully renovated Campbell Park baseball field was named in honor of James Oliver Sr. So, gentlemen, I want to ask Mr. Swinton and Mr. Oliver if you would join me for the signing of this 5,000th baseball.
St. Petersburg Mayor Ken Welsh accepting the honor of signing autographed baseball number 5,000 at Trader's Little Cooperstown, housed at the St. Petersburg Museum of History. Coverage from last Friday on Jackie Robinson Day, April the 15th, from RadioSt.Pete.com and the St. Petersburg Museum of History.